You know, design is like eating a sandwich. It's you have to select the succulent carrots. I'm like, what? No, it's not. Design is like, oh, Figma's crashed again.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
All right, Design Huddle, we got an interesting episode. I was telling Mustafa I had this cool idea. I've been my wife and I have been doing a lot of home design. You know, it was COVID pandemic. We were all sitting at home looking at our houses. A lot of people naturally were like wanting to upgrade. We were one of those families. We did a ton of upgrades. So my two worlds are colliding. I am like, you know, a UX designer by profession. I like interior home design as a hobby. So what I found was interesting is I find a lot of parallels between home trend designs and like web design. And a lot of people like the metaphor of when you build a website, it's similar to building a house, you know, like HTML is the structure, CSS is like the walls and the design. You get the metaphor. Everyone's heard it before. So we're going to kind of take some of the top design trends of 2021, and then we're just going to see how it relates to web design. So we'll start with the first one, and then I'll get, you know, Mustafa's take as well. So one of the top trends right now is brightening up spaces. No surprise, millennials love the white, you know, painting walls white to bring in natural light. This is really no surprise. This also means like maximizing natural light makes it feel more homey and welcoming. So that's the interior design trend. When I hear that interior design trend, the first thing I think of is like Apple's website. I think of like a massive amount of white space, very visual, high quality windows of products that we're looking into that are very vibrant and welcoming. So if I was to pick one company or example that matches this interior design trend, I think Apple. Is there any sites that you think, Mustafa, reflect this physical idea of having a lot of natural light white space to draw people to products or services?
I think IKEA probably. I mean, as soon as you start talking, yeah. The thing is, when you start talking about interior design, the first one's IKEA, and we've mentioned IKEA as being like one of those magical companies, which they're a design company through and through, right? And everything about their design culture is so strong, and it's just such a well-made service design company, like technology, whatever. So IKEA's white spaces is great. The thing is, it's like, this is more of a bias of me, and I've noticed in designs I've done recently where people, the feedback I always get in my design is, Mustafa, can you make things slightly smaller? Because I make things so big. Because white space, I just think, nah, let's just fill it all. So, yeah, but I think there's like, you know, again, it's all contrast, right? Like design is all contrast. So the white space is deliberately there so you can focus on the element or the product in the center. And it's to highlight that. But again, I like things really big and bold, which I think maybe right. I've been told.
You can disagree with the trend too. Like, just like the other thing is that a lot of people hate these interior design trends because they're like, it's so minimal and boring and farm. I don't want to see another farmhouse design. You know what I mean? So it's like, I think there's a little bit of that. You don't have like some people like sometimes I go to a website. And I'm like, this is so boring that it's like I feel like I've seen this copy and paste it a million times.
All right, here's the thing, yeah. And this is like heresy. And I know this is heresy. Like, someone posted like Didier Rams, the famous designer who Jonathan Ive looks up to, and the whole world looks up to. And there's like his documentary, I think for his like birthday, they released the documentary of his life and his work. And I got to 10 minutes and I was like, it was all white rooms and, you know, that weird... music where it's just like sort of single tones for like 30 seconds, you know. It's supposed to be like the pondering design. I thought, this is so boring. I'm not supposed to say that. He's a famous designer. And I was like, God, like, can't you just say something rather than, you know, designers like eating a sandwich. It's, you have to select the succulent carrots. I'm like, what? No, it's not. Designers like, oh, Figma's crashed again.
Yeah, no, it's like, that's literally, it's, or like, send me version final underscore V2, you know, it's like the same.
Yeah.
So are you, let me ask you this. If I think IKEA is a good example for like minimal. Do you like that trend? Do you like when there's a lot of like negative and white space, or do you, are you, cause there is another the web design trend called like maximalism, which is like how much stuff can you jam in and maximize like one page? Which,
yeah,
you know, is a little overwhelming to me, but I get wanting to stand out and be different at the same time.
I mean, if you remember, like, a few episodes back, we were doing the design reviews Wax Poetics.
Yeah.
And their thing was, like, everything was very large and big and in your face. Again, it's like, there's the visual design element here, and there's also the UX design element. Like, when you go to IKEA's site, what are you focused on? You're focused on, like, I need to get some cupboards, and can I find it, and is it cheap enough, and can I do a comparison between, if I'm not 100% sure, can I do a comparison? And like, there's different types of customers as well, where some customers, they want, they know exactly what they want, but they just need to find the color and the tone. And so there's so many different chats. So there's the actual usability side of, am I able to get through this? And then there's the side of, can I appreciate this site as a site? and I suppose a lot of it comes back to, what I more appreciated sites for their visual design was back in the Flash days. And so there's a website which is basically the history of design. And so I was going through it and finding all these old Flash websites, which I used to love. And they had a lot of white space where you have this character in the middle animated, and it's all motion. And it's like, it's not just the white space, it's the combination of the white space, the color, the motion, the transitions, working together in unison. And so when you're looking at it as a piece of entertainment, I think it's much more interesting. When it's usability, you know, like Amazon is not known for white space, but it, for the chaos that it seems to be, it's quite usable. Do you know what I mean? Which is where Apple site, when I was buying a laptop recently, and because I'm cheap, I was going through the refurbished ones, and that the usability of that is terrible. Because you're just trying, you're basically switching off settings, and the filters don't update and stuff like that just annoys the hell out of me.
Yeah.
But you know, I mean, again, I think interior design is, because it's the physical world, you know, you can, you're there to enjoy it. And also part of it's to show off when you have guests. Oh, look at
yeah.
Oh,
well,
so I'm cultured. Look at my white walls.
Right. No, right. I mean, it's like you're also projecting. Like it's, but like if you think about it, interior design in a lot of ways is like you're projecting your personal brand. So like if your house was your website, you're projecting your stylistic brand, or it's a combination of you and your partners. Like, you know, it's almost like two companies that merged, right? And then you have like
it was a for me it was a takeover, man.
Well, so sometimes the ideas like can really like play well together because you have two people that have similar styles. Other times it's a little bit more contrasting, but yeah, I think what I'm getting at is that there's actually like a lot of parallels here. And one of the ones that I think is really interesting, that during the, you know, COVID and the pandemic, this idea of embracing flexible spaces is becoming very popular. So like new and remodeled homes, often like a home office, they have a flex option. For like, you know, I think the best ones, like new builders, if you look at new construction houses, they're building kitchens that are like virtual for like schoolwork, crafting, a home office. So you're having these spaces that can function a lot of different ways, because it's reflecting the way that people are living their lives. Like there's, you know, parents that are jumping from, you know, work calls to teach their kid homework. I mean, you know this better than anyone as someone that's been working full time and has homeschooling kids. Like, I guess it's like that idea of making websites flexible, I think is interesting. This is probably a stretch, but I kind of think this is similar to like of a progressive web app in a way, where you're building one experience that works across devices. You're kind of, it's flexible in that regardless of where you have it, it has a consistently good experience. So that's why I think that if there is a way to tie flexible home designs into web design, I see that as like the rise of progressive web apps and why PWAs continue to be popular.
I think the trend is spaces which can be customized to fit the needs of the moment rather than being a fixed thing, right? That's kind of it. So responsive web design. Basically, it comes from architecture anyway. It's like having buildings that can change shapes. And because we were influenced by graphic design, it's very fixed pixel, fixed centimeter, millimeter, medium. And so responsive web design was all about, you know, the system accommodates for the different screens that it's in. So, yeah, I mean, that's 100% true. And I think especially in large cities where space is a premium, you know, like SF, like you could buy a shed for like $1 million because there's nothing, you know, whatever. There's a huge requirement to customize the space as much as possible. Although things may be changing slightly now that I think the world is going to move away from focused on like these big cities when like have different hubs. Yeah. But then at the same time, people's home spaces have to be customizable for this, so the furniture you'll start seeing is a bit more interesting.
Like you've seen the furniture that pops up everywhere now where it's like it's a table, but then the table turns into four chairs, and the four chairs can be like moved in different ways. So it's like it's not just like the home itself, but the furniture that's in the room is also flexible for different needs and different situations. So I actually love that. I love that people like a lot of these furniture companies, they're like I think of what am I thinking of? It's like the brand that's like
Transformers. Yeah. But for furniture. I mean, you know, this is very common in Turkish culture. Like every sofa can turn into a bed, because it's the idea is that you're so like you try to accommodate for guests as much as possible, and you're so inviting. Yeah, when we were buying furniture, every sofa has to turn into a bed. Because someone might come round and they can't travel back home, and so you're accommodating for them. And the Ottoman furniture, where the beds can open up and there's like storage inside of them, and like storage is hidden. That's a very common thing in Turkish culture. Like you'll see a chair, and then you open the chair itself, and there's like, it's basically like the kids' toys, because that's basically where you're storing everything. So, I mean, I see that, and obviously it's like custom. Like, so that's the interesting thing about our home is, my wife is very good when it comes to designing and crafting stuff. And so she likes designing things in such a way where there's so much space to store stuff, but you'd never see it in public. So it's like things like collapse and are hidden. So the house looks very minimalistic in some respects, but then you open up a drawer and suddenly there's so much stuff going on inside. But yes, I would say that responsive web design, responsive spaces, that does make sense.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think that's a trend that's been around forever, but so let's move on. Last one that I wanted to run by you. So another very popular trend, 2021 trend, that's, again, I think a result of the previous year, is adding quiet zones. So with, you know, activity buzzing throughout the home because people are home more, a quiet area to unwind after a long day or simply unplug from devices and screens is a very sought after feature. So basically, I think of it a screenless room. Our kids are, you know, on devices because, you know, parents are multitasking. And I think this adding an idea of quiet zones is not just a website or a web design trend. It's also just like a technology and like that's the way where companies are moving, right? Where this idea of digital wellness and caring about screen time and making, you know, so you're not just in these endless scroll swipes of TikTok and Instagram, but you're actually having thoughtful experiences and you're allocating your time between apps and, you know, in web time and all that kind of stuff. So this one for me is like very clear, like adding quiet zones in a house sounds amazing. Like sometimes a lot of people are watching TV to decompress, but sometimes we have a back patio that I just love sitting out on. It's like outside. We have some like, you know, plants and gardens, and it's a very place just to kind of unplug. So I totally subscribe to this, and I love that more companies are starting to give more thought to digital wellness as well. What are your thoughts here? Do you think this is another reach by Ryan?
No. I think, well, I mean, I was trying to, like, just before you said the last bit, I was thinking, when do products have, like, if you're in a checkout flow, is there like a quiet zone? Okay, you're almost finished. How about you contemplate, like, the meaning of life before you click buy?
Well, no, it's also like, it's also like, what if they were like, do you really need this product? Do you really need this, Instagram ad that you clicked on and you're buying spontaneously? They would never do that, right? Because they need to make, it's a business.
No, but I mean, you might do the opposite. The reason why you need this is because we're, fair trade or something like that. So,
right,
like,
yeah, that's a good.
You're really highlighting the social element. But digital wellness, like seeing, I think operating systems are doing this more than anyone else, where they'll tell you how long you've been using an app, like this week or.
I think Android and iOS are doing a great job of that.
Yeah.
I think
changing the screen color, like, so that, because I think blues, is it blue? The blue color, like, keeps you awake and disrupts your sleep.
They take out the blue screens at night. It kind of turns off. I have that on, so at like 9 p.m., it'll shut down the color, and it actually makes it less appealing to actually look at the screen because it's like almost dim. So it's easier on the eyes, and it's like there's a lot of like benefits to that. But I think that's great. Like, we never had that before. So any progress in this world, in that direction, I think is a good thing. And I also love the idea too that you brought up of like companies and websites are separating themselves for this idea of like social good. Like, this is free trade, organic, like all these other
like if you're buying something, it's like, would you like to donate 10% to like 10p or to whatever, 10 cents to planting trees or something, like, because of the packaging that you're using or the fact that you recyclable things, or would you, here's an environmentally friendly alternative to what you're about to purchase. I think those things, again, it's like being cognizant of the waste. Or perhaps even offering secondhand versions of the things that you're buying, so you're not just buying brand new things all the time. In terms of the contemplating spaces, I mean, that's really important. I mean, I think it's well known that you need just headspace, like, to contemplate every single day, like, you know, whether it's meditation or prayer or a sports activity or whatever. When before the gyms, I mean, they're not completely open. They're open now in London anyway. Going swimming at night was my thing, because that's completely disconnected.
Yeah,
you can't
awesome.
Take your devices. And just, I remember just diving underwater and all you can hear is just the sound of water. That was so amazing. Like, just as a, it's like the water's almost massaging your body as you're trying to, I swim terribly. But like, it's just that kind of complete disconnect, and you're in the elements, right? It's just the water in you and your ability to try and stay alive. if you're a rubbish swimmer like me, it's just like, oh God, this is so poetic. I could be drowning.
That was like so beautiful. And then you're like, it took a dark turn when you're like, and then I struggle for my life because I realized I don't know how to swim.
But the amazing thing there is, like, again, it's like, I think John Cleese, the Monty Python, he's done a lot of talks on creativity. And again, I've mentioned this before. I think he talked about Thomas Edison used to do this thing where he'd be sitting in a room, complete silence, and then he'd have the two metal balls in his hand and a metal plate on the floor, and he'd kind of go into that drifting zone. And just as he was drifting off, obviously his hands would release, the balls hit, it would wake him up. And in that kind of in-between sleep and awake state was where he found the most creative ideas came from, because you're completely freeing your mind of everything out there.
That's so cool. Yeah, I totally get that. You ever right before you fall asleep, you come up with like an idea from something during your day and you want to like write it down on a piece of paper? I used to, I don't do it as much, but I used to just have like a notepad and pen, because I don't know why, but I what you're saying like resonates with me so much, because I used to just like, whenever I was like fully, like the noise of the day and your mind can finally just like kind of slowly rest, then an idea would pop in my head. I'm like, that is such a good idea, of like an idea or something I was tinkering with like earlier in the day or the week.
Yeah.
But, that's...
Well, John Cleese used to say, like, he'd write a script and then throw it away, and then the next day, well, he'd sleep and wake up and he'd try to rewrite it, and whatever he'd write would be so much better because he'd be focusing on the most important things of that script. So it's like the idea is the first thing you design isn't necessarily the best path to go down, and when you can't think of a problem, the best thing to do is just to walk away and have a sleep or go out with friends or just do something that's completely disconnected. So I think, that kind of not getting stuck in this sort of like designer's block is usually that you just need a break and a rest, and that's just a normal part of the creative process. So again, me being the dark, bleak one, as you're talking about writing notes, I can imagine if I had written that, got all these amazing ideas, I wake up the next morning and read what I write, like it'd be something like, "Don't trust the ducks, they're all spies." Is that really random like that?
Yeah, that's funny. A little bit more cynical, a little bit more cynical approach, but I think that's, you know, that's why it's a good balance, you know? Yeah, but I think this, you know, this episode might be a stretch for our listeners, but I think there's a lot here. If you're an interior designer, like, come on Design Huddle. Let's talk. Like, I think something that we want to do for our guests in future episodes is, like, you know, Design Huddle started because we both love design. We talk a lot about UX, as you know, but we're going to start interviewing people from a ton of different disciplines. So if you're one of those people that's just interested in other design areas, reach out to us, DM us, tweet at us. We're happy to have you on. Any closing thoughts, Mustafa, before we end the episode, our most famous episode of making parallels between interior design trends and web design trends?
No, I think it's much more interesting as designers to look outside of your design discipline and looking at how other designers try to solve problems. So architects of the past, you know, how they've designed things. You know, because architects, they see themselves as sculptors of light, because how they position windows will light the spaces, and how you guide someone around a building with stairs and you point things out. And again, these are like basically the equivalent of our buttons, our call to actions, right? You know, and I think it's quite inspiring how other design disciplines take this, like, if you think about the notion of going through an app or a site laterally, like, you know, like just thinking, what is it? You're guiding a person, and you think, okay, guiding a person. How does a fashion designer guide a person to wear a jumper? Like, what's the things that they're doing? You know, are there cues, the buttons, where they're placed or whatever, or in architecture or garden design? And I think those things are much more interesting, because then you can start thinking about how you can emphasize those things to make your design successful. So yeah, and I think
that's beautiful. We're gonna print that on a t-shirt.
What, the ducks looking to get us?
that's we should get, like, you're like a cartoonist, you should draw that. I want to see it next episode. I want to see the mock-up for the t-shirts of the duck spies.
Yeah. And then Mustafa's taken away because he needs help. So yeah, we'll be looking for a new co-host of Design Huddle.
Yeah, so this is also like, send me resumes too, because I'm looking for someone else to run Design Huddle with. Awesome. Well, let's wrap here before we go down any more rabbit holes. Thanks, Mustafa, for hanging with me as I really wanted to talk about interior design, because I'm
anytime doing
it. Shout out to our partners, our wives, for crushing it and being awesome interior designers.
And shout out to our kids for ruining everything with crayons.
Yeah, that's like a little too real. All right, cool. Well, we'll catch you guys on the next episode. Thanks for listening to Design Huddle. If you haven't done so, please make sure you subscribe, and we will catch you on the next episode. Peace.
Peace.
Thank you for listening to today's episode of Design Huddle. The opinions expressed are solely our own and do not express the views or opinions of our employer.